Well, it's a bit difficult to preach after you have a testimony like that because it kind of sets the tone. And I'm going to stick to that. I'm going to ask Macy to come forward, please, because she also has a testimony to share. Okay. If you want, you can share it in Afrikaans. And then I will translate it in English, and we will all give God the glory.
Verlede week in donderdag is my pa in die hospitaal opgeneem vir sy hart. Hy het 'n hartoperasie gekry Vrydag. En donderdag aand toe ons daar uitgegaan het. Donderdag aand toe ons uit is, toe sien ek die man daar Rudy en hy het my hart baie aangeraak. En ons het huis toe gegaan en ek het vir Lennard gesê raak my hart aan, want hy het Bybel gelees. En is min wat jy dit sien. En vrijdagochtend 6:00 is ons terug hospitaal toe. My pa is een operatie 6:00 die ochend gekry het en hy het nie. Ek kan eers praat van my pa gegaan nie. En hy het nie sy operatie gekry nie, hy het het eerst 3:00 die middag gekry. Terwyl ons gewag het dat die dokter hom moes invat, het ons met Rudy gepraat. En hy het vir ons vertel, hy kom van Secunda af, hy het daar operasie gekry, iets was fout met sy maag, ek weet nie precies wat nie, maar hulle het die darms alles raak gesny, en hulle het hom vir 8 minute dood verklaar, in Secunda.
Okay, ek gaan gauw so bietjie translate, en dan gaan ons weer aan. Her father had to go in for an operation to his heart, am I right, for heart problems? And while they went to visit her father, there was another gentleman lying in the same ward. And she says something about this man touched her heart. While he was lying there, he was actually reading a Bible. And she felt like God speaking to her about this man. This man had been transported from Secunda to somewhere around, yeah? Or to Glenwood in Benoni. And he ended up in the same ward as her father. He had had an operation before, and apparently during the operation, the doctor had accidentally cut into his intestines. Am I correct? Okay.
So, hulle het hom daar het fout gegaan.
Sorry, and then he actually died on the operating table. He had been dead for 8 minutes before they could resuscitate him. Yes.
So ja, ek weet nie vir hoe lang was hy toe daar nie, toe plaas hulle hom Glenwood Hospitaal toe, en dis waar ons hom ontmoet het, ja. En die Vrydag het ons met hom gepraat, en hy het vir ons vertel precies wat gebeur het en goed, en die Sondag het ons hierna toe gekom, en dit is toe ek vir Jan vra, kan hy asseblief vir hom bid op 'n lappie, oor die lappie. Hy het baie moeilik geloop, Jan, hy het so in mekaar geloop. En ek weet nie, die sondagavond, verlede week in sondag toe ons daar kom, toe het ons het eers gegaan, ons het hom gegroet en ons het na my pa toe gegaan, ons het my pa gepraat, en terwyl ons met my pa gepraat het, seun het op 'n bankie gesit, en hy het vir my gesê, ek het nog eers van my lappie gegee of met hom gepraat of niks nie, en hy het vir my gesê, meisie, weet jy wat, dit voel of ek oor seun se kop kan spring. En seun sê, meisie, gaan sê vir hom hoekom. En ek gaan na hom toe en ek sê vir hom, weet jy hoekom voel jy so goed? Hy sê vir my, nee. Ek sê, want God het jou aangeraak vandag by die Warriors. Ek sê, ons pastoor het vir jou gebid, sien jy hierdie lappie? Hy het hom gesalf en hy het vir jou gebid vandag. Ek sê, en ek glo God het jou al daar aangeraak. Dis ek om jy vir my sê, jy kan oor sien sy kop spring. En ek het die lappie gevat, ek het dit op sy maag gesit. En ek het net vir hom gesê, in Jesus naam gaan jy genees. En hy sê vir my dankie, en hy het ons gedruk, ons allemaal een drukkie gegee, en hy was so bly gewees, en ons het huis toe gegaan. 11:15, toe bel hy my van my pa se foon af. Eers vir jou sê, hy het een sakkie gehad, en dit moes een sekere hoeveelheid gedrein het, voor hy kon huis toe gaan, en dit wou nie drein nie, voor hy die pijp en alles kon uithaal. En 11:15, toe bel hy my, toe sê vir my, die pijp is uit sy maag uit, prijs God. Hy weet nie, die ding het net uitgekom, niemand het hom uitgehaal nie, hy sê het uitgepop, soos hy vir my gesê het. En hy was so bly gewees en nie maandag nie, dinsdagoggend toe sy huis toe. Ja, toe sy heeltemal genees, so dinsdag is sy huis toe, hy sê, hy het vir my WhatsApp gestuur, toe sê hy vir my, die lappie was amazing. Oh hy het gevoel hoe God om verder genees hy en alle eer aan God
sê. Well, we give God all the glory, amen. Yeah. I'm going to translate, don't stress. Okay. Macy came here on Sunday. And she asked me to pray. We have lappies. You know, the Bible says in the biblical times, the disciples prayed over a handkerchief. And then when it was touched to the body of the sick people, the sick were cured. And we believe that if it's in the Bible, it's there for us to learn. And if God can heal that way, you know, not everybody can always come to a church, but a lappy can go anywhere. And we've had wonderful testimonies, even people in Portugal that have been healed when we sent these things there. She brought it to me and I prayed over it and I said, Lord, please may the anointing and the power of God that is in this place today be released into this lappy. And Lord, we are claiming the healing for this man. And, you know, they went to visit him that Sunday night. The previous time that they saw him, he could hardly walk. He was in so much pain. There was all sorts of complications. And when they saw, when did you see him before the Sunday when you went there? Wanneer was die vorige keer wat jy hom laas gesien het?
Die Saterdag.
The previous day, he was in so much pain, he could hardly walk. And there were some complications. He had a bag and, you know, there was just a lot of things not lekker. And she says when they got there on Sunday afternoon, after they went directly from church, they went to go and see her father and to see him. She says, and her brother was sitting there, and the gentleman was saying to her, oh, you know what, I feel so good, I feel I can actually jump over your brother. Now, if you've seen her brother, he's very big. Sien said to her, her brother said to her, but tell him why he's feeling so good. And she said to him, do you know why you're feeling so good? He said, no. She said, when we were at church today, we asked the pastor to pray for you. Mm. And the whole congregation prayed for you, and they prayed over this lappy. For God to touch you. And she says, you feel this way because God touched you. And now God's like, oh, wow, praise God, thank you, bless God. Mm-hmm. And then she put the lappy on his abdomen. And she told him, in Jesus' name, you will be healed. He phoned her 11 o'clock that night. The thing that was inside of him, it still needed to drain. All sorts of things still needed to happen. He says, no, he doesn't know how it happened. The thing popped out by itself. When the doctor got there, the doctor said, well, everything is sorted out. You can go home.
On Tuesday, he went home.
He went home on Tuesday, yeah.
And I've ook gesê, hy sal van sy vriende kry, van hulle kerk en goed, en dan sal hulle ook hier kom kyk.
And the gentleman told her, as soon as he's ready, he's going to bring a lot of friends from their church in Secunda, and they're going to come and visit us here.
Yeah. Amen. En hy sal miskien elke tweede Sondag, hy sal net kyk, gaan het met sy werk.
Amen. Okay.
Well, you know what? God is good. Mr. Wilson, can you add? Yes, of course. Yes.
She wasn't ready. She was very weak. I came here and we prayed and you gave me, we prayed over the lappy. And she took it all.
Okay. Just a quick add-on to Anna's testimony. When Anna was so sick, she could not come to church. You know, she weighed 29 kilos. She can hardly move. Manuela came and asked us for one of those lappies, which we did pray over, and she carried that lappy with her every day. You've still got it? Yes. There we go. And she believes that that was part of what helped her to give her the strength to go through that really, really difficult time. I'm not going to speak on what I was going to speak about. I'm actually going to share this as it fits in so nicely for me with the testimony. It comes from the book of Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. This is very important. When it comes to healing the sick, if the power of the Lord is not present, no sick person will get well. And to me, this is what it is about. Where does healing come from? Healing comes from God. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Now, there's another thing that we must also understand from this. The power of God is not always present to heal the sick. We know that the Bible says there were places where Jesus went that he could not heal the sick, which means the power of God was not present to heal the sick. If you are in a place where the power of God is present to heal the sick, it is your responsibility to make use of that power. This is sometimes for me so weird and so difficult, and I'm not going to say it's just a South African problem. Probably it's worldwide. It is a people problem. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had a gentleman that came here for prayer. But then when the power of God began to move and I asked him, do you want me to pray for you? He said, no, no, I'm fine. I sincerely doubt that you are fine. And now I in fact know that you are not fine and you probably will not be fine, because when the power of God was present to heal the sick, you said, no, it's okay, I'm fine. Healing is available, but it's not always everybody that will take and accept that healing. You know, when Anna came to our church that day, normally what I do, I can't remember if I actually spoke to her or not, because it's been a while, but a lot of the times when people come to us for prayer, I say to the people, listen, yeah, open your heart and receive what God will give you. Because, and I'm going to tell you why I say that, because you cannot tell God how to do it. You cannot tell God what to do. You can simply come and say, Lord, here I am. I praise you that your presence, that the power of God is present to heal the sick, and I'm here to receive. When the Holy Spirit heals, he heals as he wants. You know, the old scripture that we quote so many times, John chapter 3 verse 8, the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from and you don't know where he is going. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. When the wind of God, which is the finger of God, which is the Holy Spirit, begins to move, he does not ask you what you want, how you want it. He doesn't accommodate you. He accommodates the voice of God. The Holy Spirit does not obey your whims or your outlook on life or even your personality. The Holy Ghost only moves in accordance with what God says. Jesus confirmed that when he said, the Son of Man can do nothing in of himself, but he can only do what the Father tells him to do. And this is one thing that we have to understand and accept. When God is going to do something, he's going to do it his way, not your way. And many people miss out on amazing things because they don't like the way God's working today. God doesn't care whether you like what he does or not. He doesn't need your permission. You know, it's like he says in the Bible, when he laid the foundations of the earth, were you there? No, you weren't. When he put the sun and the stars in the heavens, were you there to tell him what to do? No, you weren't. He didn't need your help then. He doesn't need your help now. In fact, you don't even know why your body is sick and what's wrong with you. The medical science, there's so much that they still don't understand. Now we want to tell God what he can and he can't do. No. One day, as he was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem were sitting there. Now I want to ask you a question. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law did not really believe in Jesus. Why were they there? They liked to give him a hard time. They were always telling him he doesn't know what he's talking about. They persecuted him. If ultimately it was them that crucified him. Why were they there? No. To see. Can I tell you why they were there? Because even though they professed not to believe in him, they could not argue with what they saw. Because the blind eyes opened, the deaf ears heard, the cripple began to walk. Signs, miracles, and wonders happened everywhere, and their hearts told them this is right, but their minds told them it was wrong. And they chose to listen to their minds, not their hearts. Which is just sad. Today, the same thing happens. The power of God moves. Somebody's mind says, this is rubbish. It's like, oh, this is rubbish. No, listen to your heart. One thing that she said when she shared her testimony, she had to open her heart. Because God works with us, yeah, in our hearts. So they were sitting there, and then it says, and the power of God was present for him to heal the sick. When the power of God is present, it is generally present for everybody. That doesn't mean everybody will receive it. It just means it's there. That is the gift of God. That is the grace of God. It's here. Some will receive it. Some will say, I don't see it that way. I don't think this is good. No, that's not right. Anyway, some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat. And they tried to take him into the house to lay before Jesus. Everybody say, praise God for good friends. This man could not walk. This man had no physical way of getting to where Jesus was. And I do believe this man played a role in why he was there. Here's how I like to look at it. This man was a paralytic. Like she had received a kind of a death sentence. To him it was like, you are, this is the way you are and this is the way you will be for the rest of your life. But then he heard rumors, because you must understand, Galilee was buzzing about a man by the name of Jesus who had healed people, who had cleansed the lepers, who had raised the dead, who had performed signs and wonders and miracles. He had turned water into wine. Everybody was talking. And this man, this paralytic man, he'd heard the stories. And I can tell you now, if his friends had faith, he had faith too, because he was probably the one that said to them, guys, please, we have to make a plan. This man can help me. I can't do it, but can you guys please do something for me? Help me. That's why I said, praise God for good friends, because when he spoke to them, they said, well, we got to make a plan for our friend. Let's call him Stan. Stan can't be like this for the rest of his life. We know there's an opportunity. We know there's somebody that can help. And even though it's going to be difficult, we will not stop until we are at that place that we can receive. They picked those Stan up and they started walking. Did they come 10 kilometers? Did they come 50? I don't know. But I can tell you there was no taxi to take. Probably they carried him all the way. Or otherwise they had to use some kind of a donkey or something. It was difficult. If it's worthwhile receiving, it's probably going to be difficult to get to that place. And that's why the ones that remain seated are never going to receive nothing from God. It's the one that's willing to get up and do something about it that receives. Here comes Ostan. They walked maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 kilometers, who knows. They eventually get to the house. Do you know what they see? There's no way to get to Jesus because he's inside the house. The whole yard is full of people. The streets outside are full of people because everybody wants to touch him because he can do a miracle. Now, you see, one person will look at that and say, how we tried. Didn't work, but at least nobody could say we didn't try. Let's go home. Probably tomorrow is a better day. Stan wasn't like that, and neither were his friends. These people were go-getters. Stan's friend said, fasten your seatbelt. Something is about to happen. How did they even get onto the roof? Only God knows, but they made a plan. Probably they made a couple of enemies along the way because they had to push this one here and push that one there and walk over this one's head, but they didn't care. They smelled victory. Do you know what the Bible calls that? It's called faith. They didn't know he was going to be, they couldn't prove he would be healed, but they were not willing to sit idly by and miss out on this opportunity. They went up onto the roof. Look at this. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. So not only did they make a plan to get over the people to get onto the roof, they actually broke the guy's house. And they lowered the man through the tiles in front of Jesus. What is it that moves the hand of God? It is faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, faith pleases God. Therefore, faith moves the hand of God. Yeah, we have two things that were very important that always have to be there when a miracle is about to happen. We have to have the power of God available. And secondly, we have to have faith. Because the power of God is many times available, but it can only be activated by something in us. It's activated by our faith. It's like our faith releases the power to work. when Jesus saw their faith. And I want to tell you something. Jesus did not see the destruction of the house. Jesus did not see the people that were upset. Jesus saw only one thing. He saw faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? What is easier for me to say? Get up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Now listen to this. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and they said, "We have seen remarkable things today." When the power of God is present, you will see remarkable things. I want to tell you, there is a big difference between the generation that walked with Jesus and the generation that is listening to me today. The generation that walked with Jesus praised God for the remarkable things that they see. The generation that I speak to today find all sorts of reasons why these things are not good, why God can't work that way, why that's not acceptable, why this is a problem. You see, these people were simple people. They had nothing and they had no hope. If Anna had lived 2,000 years ago, what the doctor said would have come to pass. 3 months, gone. Her only hope would have been what? Jesus. There was no other hope. And these people, when they experienced the power of God, they had no problem going on their knees right there and giving God all the praise and all the glory. Yet the Pharisees had a bit of an attitude. But the people, the general people, they loved Jesus. Can I tell you why? Because you came to him with a problem, he was the solution. And I want to ask you a question. Did he somehow change? Is he somehow a different person? Did he have a split personality where the one could manifest back then, but now we're dealing with somebody completely different? No. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God healed the sick back then, I want to tell you something. God still heals the sick right now. If God performed miracles back then, it's not difficult for him to do it now. He's not the one that changed. We are the ones that changed. Back then they had an expectation that miracles were going to take place. Right now we don't have an expectation. It's like, "Oh, well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. At least I tried." No, that's the wrong attitude to have. God wants faith. Faith says it will happen. I am going to trust. It will come to pass. And that is what we are sorely lacking in the church today. We want to see, you know, everybody, every Christian wants to see some form of sign or wonder or miracle in their lifetime. The reason most people never see it is not, you can't blame the church for that. You can't blame God for that. You can't even blame the devil for that. Because what God is looking for is in your heart. It's called faith. It's called belief, an unwavering faith and belief that God is still the same and he still does what he says he will do. You know, in a lot of churches today, when the supernatural manifests, it's the devil. With all due respect, the devil has some power, but he's not all powerful. The one that is all powerful is called Jesus, the Son of God. He's our healer. He's our redeemer. He's our deliverer. You know, this woman came to us that day having faith. Today she shared with you what even the doctor said, but this is a miracle. Here's my question. Does God have only one miracle available? Does he have only two miracles available? I don't know. Let's say there's 100 people here this morning. I want to tell you there's at least 100 miracles waiting to be released. Because the power of God is present to do miracles. The question is, how many people are going to have the faith to take that power, receive it, and live that miracle? It could be you. I say could be because I can't control what you have in your heart. But I want to give you the hope that today is a day that your life can change. You know, Macy, last week, I remember she came to me. I was in a big hurry because I had to get down to Cape Town and my flight was going to leave. And as I was about to leave, she came up to me and she said, please, just before you go, can you just please pray over this lappy because we're going to see this man and wada wada. I said, okay, fine, give it to me. I took it, I clenched it in my fist and I prayed and I said, Lord, please have mercy on this man, blah, 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 blah. God honored her faith. When she got to that hospital room, the man in one day had the strength to walk around and he felt like jumping and running. He had energy in his body. Where did that come from? You can tell me it was the medicine. I'll tell you it was prayer and faith. She had faith to trust God for a change in that man's life. In fact, she was telling me that the man said to her that he would love to come to these meetings twice a month because it's quite a far trek from where he stays to here. But I do believe we're going to see him. And I do believe that he's testifying what God did for him. He put that lappy on him and supernaturally that pipe just came out and the doctors told him he could go home. Does God still work in supernatural ways? Oh yes, he does. Did God change? No, God didn't change. People changed. That's why Jesus said, when I return, in other words, in a couple of millennia when I come back, will the generation that meets me still be the same as the generation that walks with me? I can tell you we're not the same. But it's our fault, not God's fault. And we can change that. It starts with you and me. We can't expect the people out there to change. We have to change. And one by one, we have to change people. You know, she's got an amazing, amazing gift. And the gift that she has right now, I'm talking about Anna, is that she can give hope to people when she shares her testimony because it will build faith in people. If every one of us goes out and we talk. Now, I want to talk about her testimony. You can sit here today and listen to her testimony and be all happy and like, oh, feel all goosies and like, oh, praise God, glory, hallelujah, blessed be your name, Lord. And you can leave it there. Or when somebody asks you somewhere this week, what did you do this weekend? You could say, you want to know what I did? I heard an amazing testimony. Let me tell you about this woman. I met her, and before she goes home, every one of you is going to go and shake her hand. And you're going to say, you know what? I shook the hand of a walking miracle. Because the world told her 3 months. God said, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what your doctor says. I don't care what the tests say. I will have the final word. And that's just the way it is. God always has the final word. The question is, did you hear from him or did you just hear from the world? When you get bad news, I want you to remember these words. Who's talking to you? Was it God? Or was it some man or some devil or some demon or some institution? Because if it wasn't God speaking, you don't accept that as the final word. It's what God says that matters because his word will come to pass. Amen? I'm not going to say anything more because I do believe the power of God is here for us to receive. So I'm going to sort of just wrap it up there, and I'm going to say to you, you came here today and you have some need, whatever that might be. Some of you need healing. Some of you need a miracle. Some of you need a breakthrough. I don't care. It's between you and God. But today, when the power of God is available, don't you be the one that goes home and says, you know what, I'm actually fine. Sometimes I feel it's a slap in God's face. He says, man, what more must I do for these people, for them to receive? You know, you pray, you pray, you pray, and then you're there to receive, and you turn around and you walk away. No. Today, it's there. Take it. And we'll see what God is going to do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. There was two songs that Anna wanted me to play. I'm actually going to play the second song now while we take up the offering.